I got a problem.
It's big, and only you can solve it.
Fine.
You know how I always call into the Dom Lippo radio show?
The sports guy?
Yeah, he talks about hockey, and I have very strong opinions about minor league professional hockey, as we all do.
Tell the story.
Right. Yesterday, I called in to say it's a bad trade, and we got in a fight, and Lippo banned me from his show.
You got banned for fighting about a sport where the best part is the fighting?
What do you want me to do about it?
I want you to call into the show and finish making my argument.
No.
But I did more research, and if I win the argument, he'll have to unban me.
Nearly banned from the radio ourselves, this is The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
And while we're on hold for 45 minutes, I can teach you everything you need to know about hockey.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Don't ever see it sober if I'm breathing. Racing to the moonlight and I'm speeding. I'm headed to the stars, ready to go far and start walking.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you aboard tonight, folks, as we got a big show for you tonight. Our annual Canada West hockey preview show coming up all for the next hour, over the next hour anyway, where we preview both the men's and the women's hockey conferences for Canada West and look at every team and what they've added, what they've lost, and how they're going to do, how we are going to predict they'll do. Again, money back guarantee. If any money you've paid to get these predictions, you can get back. So, as we know, this is a free radio show, so shouldn't be any refunds involved. So that should be good. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm all right. We fade out Lil Nas X here and star walking, because we're going to be walking through with some stars in a few minutes here, some Canada West stars. Everybody, make sure you got your orange shirts on tomorrow as well. It's Truth and Reconciliation Day across the country. I wish it would have been a stat holiday here in Manitoba. Get off your rear ends, government. But
you know,
only had a year to get that prepared.
I mean, they need even more time to just make a vote to make this a stat holiday. It's not like it's a really easy process.
No.
A thing that everyone agrees with.
I mean, you could do this by silent ballot if you wanted.
Yeah.
I don't even care. But just make it a stat holiday. But I guess we'll wait till next year now. So See what happens at that point. In saying that, though, let's get into this. We did tease, and there is going to be a major announcement coming up. That will happen around 6 o'clock. It will happen after the men's preview, prior to the women's preview. We'll also probably touch on it at the end again, just to make sure everybody's aware. But there will be a major announcement coming up. Major announcement. So stay tuned for that if you're in. But let's get into this, because we've got a lot to go over here for the men's side. Coaches' polls were put out, so we kind of have an idea of where the coaches think everybody's going to finish. But let's get into this on the left coast, because obviously we're going to work our way inward in terms of getting back to Manitoba, which is the most eastern province in the Canada West Conference. But we'll start with the UBC Thunderbirds. Jason, for the men's side, a number of people have left, a number of good players have left in terms of missing out on a few players this season that really made a difference last year. Among them, Rylan Toth, obviously they're Canada West All-Star and U Sports All-Star, as well as Tyler Sandu, who is a great player for them as well. They're getting in a number of good players as well. Sasha Matala, Johnny Lambeau, Sam Huo. A lot of good players coming in, but your thoughts on UBC, who finished second last year with a 14-5-1 record in terms of what they've done and what they've lost?
I mean, you've lost two incredibly important pieces. Like, Rylan Toth put that team on his back on more than one occasion. You don't easily replace a goaltender of that caliber. Like, really, an MVP, all-star, all you need in the blue paint. So
that dude stole games every season.
Exactly. And he stole a series from Alberta a couple years ago.
Right.
So it's a major loss for them. He's off to bigger and better things, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
Signed to the Fort Wayne Comets in the ECHL for those that are asking. So
yeah, and you know, he that's really the main point of contention for me is, okay, you can flitter around. Like, they've got good systems. They got, it's a very defense-oriented program and a defense-oriented team. But you're missing kind of the last line of defense. And what are you going to fill that hole? Like, losing Tyler Zandu is a whole other conversation in and of itself. Like, that's a major loss for that team. But, you know, starting from the back out, like, that's problem number one.
Right. So Doran Luding is probably the one player who's going to come back for goaltending that they have. They are bringing in a couple of goaltenders as well. Yeah. Most notably, Caden Lane from Penticton. And again, I'm going to rave a little bit about Caden Lane here because, again, in two seasons with Penticton in the BCHL, he played 50 games. He had a 176 goals against average, a 923 save percentage, while posting a record of 43-4-3. Mm-hmm. Like, dude won every game he was virtually in.
Yep.
And, I mean, don't get me wrong, Penticton's a good BCHL team. There's nothing wrong with that. But if Caden Lane can come in and replicate those kinds of numbers for UBC, mm-hmm. like, obviously a bigger step in terms of jumping into Canada West, but he's going to make this pretty much his crease from start to finish in terms of his university career. Cole Schwabis is the other one that's coming in, is the other player coming in. He played Victoria BCHL. He played 22 games, 332 goals against average, 903 save percentage. He was 11-11-0, but he struggled in the WHL when he went there. So,
yeah. I mean, you know, Penticton is, like you said, a very great pro. Like, the BCHL in general,
oh, yeah.
It's, yeah. You know, year over year, it's the quality just continues to climb. And the one thing that, you know, for me, for them, both those goaltenders coming in here is the difference in travel, the difference of play style, the difference of kind of pressure that this is going to be. I think those two are going to be great goaltenders moving forward. I think UBC's primed for a little bit of a step back. Like the whole conference really is kind of being thrown into a bit of chaos just for like the quality of players that have left. But for UBC, I don't see them taking like a major step back or anything because just the talent level of those two goaltenders, one of them is going to grab that starter's job and fight to hold on to it. And they're just both quality goaltenders. It's just, how long is it going to take for them to get settled into the routine of Canada West? The schedule's a little more regionalized this year, so they're not going to be, you know, flying out here to Manitoba very frequently. But you're still looking at, and obviously the BCHL travel in, like, as somebody who's driven through BC, traveling through BC is beautiful, but not very fun. It is taxing and long, and I think this is going to be obviously a step up for them. I have confidence that they're going to, in the next couple of years, this team's going to get back to what it was. I have full faith in that program. I just think that the way that they are now, they're not going to take a major step back, but there is potentially a step back there.
I don't disagree with you. I think there's again, when you lose a guy like you said, like Toth, in terms of just not having that backstopper, you're probably going to take a step back, but they're still going to be good. I think that's the important part. Trinity Western is the other team that's out in BC, obviously, that we know of, and they were 2-18 last year. They were ninth place overall. I mean, they didn't win very many games at all. They gave up a ton of goals, 112 goals against all last season compared to 36 goals for. They went out and they added some interesting players. I wouldn't say they've added a lot of overly offensive players. There are some decent players that they've added. Boston Bird, for example, from Weiwei Sakapo from Manitoba Junior Hockey League, he's going to be going there. Mitchell Joss from Sherwood Park, he played a little bit with Dauphin and Winnipeg here in the MJ as well. Looks pretty good there in terms of what's going on. For fun names, Adam Oates is going to be playing there next year.
There you go.
Adam Oates is a defender, though. He came from Drayton Valley, not the Adam Oates that went to Ritz, played so many years in the NHL. But you look at what they've brought in, and I mean, really, they haven't really improved their goaltending. No. I mean, Raphael Odette is going to be okay. He played out in the Maritime Hockey League, but he wasn't outstanding out there. Mm-hmm. And most of the guys that they're bringing in can score. They just don't score, probably won't score often enough to help this Trinity Western team yet.
Yeah, and it's, you're asking guys that have talent, have that ability, have that talent to come in where, you know, you can throw, it's like you can throw a great scorer. Like you can throw Jeff Skinner on the Buffalo Sabres. He can score a lot of goals, but is he going to score a lot of goals in Buffalo? It's the system and the team around them is kind of what the issue is right now. They need that progression. They need that step forward. They need changes to, like, not like wholesale changes. I'm not saying like this team is going to be abysmal. Like they're still going to be competitive. They're still going to, you know, put up a fight. You know, they obviously they didn't just roll over when other teams came to town. But
well, in some cases,
they did. But I just think that there's not much to there shouldn't be very much expectations on Trinity Western coming into this year. And, you know, we're not expecting that these guys are going to be earth-shattering
right.
additions to this program.
Yep.
They're making incremental gains. It's just, is it enough to get them out of the basement?
I don't care what happens to Trinity Western this year. I don't care if they go 0-20 or 0-28 this year, whatever the schedule is going to be. The fact that Kyle Beach is their assistant coach this year, the fact that he's back in hockey, everybody should be out cheering this guy on. I don't care. Again, they can get blown out 100-0 in every game, and I still wouldn't look down on Trinity Western for the fact that they're giving him a chance to get back into the game.
Yeah, and I think that should be the story of this year, more or less, because there isn't going to be a lot to cheer about with the Trinity Western Spartans this year, just like it was last year.
Do they eclipse their two wins from last year?
I'm sorry, I don't think they will.
Oh,
I mean, the rest of the conference has improved around them.
Right, yeah.
I think they haven't really done enough to take that step forward. They're obviously going to be more experienced than they were last year.
Yeah.
But I think the real story and the real thing to cheer for is going to be Kyle Beach.
Let's jump into Alberta, go to the southern city anyway, where Calgary and Mount Royal play. We'll start with the Dinos. Dinos ended up fifth last year with a 12-7-1 record. Dinos have the smallest recruiting class this year, which means that they have the most returning players, which I think is encouraging if you're the Dinos, because that continuity certainly helps in terms of what you're getting. Guys that are coming back that are legitimately going to help out in terms of finding some of those guys. Broden Salmon in goal is going to backstop that team extremely well. Riley Stott's going to be an outstanding addition to that team, but returner to that team as well. Goal scoring is going to be a little bit tougher, though. Again, you lost Tim Vanstone, you lost, you know, Caden Elder, you lost James Shearer. You lost
Elder and Vanstone alone are just...
Right. And that's the thing, is you've lost a ton of offense there. Mm-hmm. But coming in, though, again, guys are gonna you know, maybe raise a few eyebrows here in terms of what's happening. Connor Horning from Vancouver, WHL Vancouver Giants, he's a 6'3", 207-pound defender coming in. So Calgary's getting bigger on the back end.
Yeah.
Add in the fact that they added Carl Tedichuk from Moose Jaw, WHL's Moose Jaw Warriors. 297 goals against average, 905 save percentage, a 79-42-18 record in 148 games played in 4 years between Lethbridge and Moose Jaw. Calgary won't get extremely better with their recruits, but they are depth that they do need in terms of making themselves better overall.
Yeah, I think Calgary is going to be, I mean, they were last year, but they're going to be a tough test whenever you play. Like, having Broden Salmon there and now having Tedichuk to have that secondary option to go to.
Yeah.
I think that was part of the issue for them, is that they had to rely on Salmon so much last year. But, you know, I think you're starting, that those building blocks are there, and that's great. But you've got good players coming back. Like, you've got Upper and Schoenbert. Like, they're great players coming back. But you're starting to plug holes. But you are already starting from a great base.
Yeah.
Like, that defense is going to be a nightmare to play against, I think. There's some talented guys back there, some big guys back there. It's a team that's built to really grind you out.
Yeah.
They're not going to, like, obviously you're losing Vanstone and Elder, like, guys that really drove the offense for Calgary, did a lot of great things, and Evan and I raved about them all the time. But you've still got pieces there. Like you said, they're adding to the depth. They're moving forward. I don't think they're going to just rocket up the standings, but I don't think that they're going to fall off in any way. I think they're either going to stay where they are or they're going to take maybe a step forward, depending on how the other teams around them shake out.
Yeah. Like, I do like the way that Calgary is built. I just don't know if they're built as well as everybody else that's around them. I mean, the Albertas, the Mount Royals, the UBCs. I mean, you're gonna have to take a big run at a couple of teams if you're gonna knock them off at that point. But like, Calgary has the talent to do that. It's just whether or not they can do it consistently.
Yeah, like I'm thinking, like, I don't want to get too far ahead, but it reminds me kind of when UBC went up against Alberta in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was a kind of like, just, you know, talent for talent, they were outmatched, but they were able to steal those games. They were able to steal that series. Rylan Toth was able to steal that series.
Right.
So I think that they're built in a way where they're going to, I mean, all you have to do really is be better than the teams at the bottom, and clearly they are that. And they're going to be a tough test come playoff time.
Right. I mean, the out is going to be the tough thing, on, I think, with them, only because, again, they're built more for the playoffs than they are for the regular season. Like, they are built to be a pain in your rear.
And,
so,
like, because that's kind of the sad reality of where men's hockey in Canada West is right now. It's like, it's the same teams that are showing up in the playoffs every year, and that final spot kind of flips back and forth.
Right, yeah.
But it's the same teams that are there, so they're preparing to be there. They're confident in their ability to get there. It's how do you get through that is what you're going to do. And Calgary is building, like UBC was building, to take you to the full three games, to beat you down, to wear you out, to get past you just on grit and effort alone.
One of the teams, obviously the second Calgary team, one of the teams, though, that might be built to win this year might be Mount Royal. And I say that only because they have Nolan Yaremko coming back. They have Riley Sawchuk coming back. Goaltending is going to be a bit of a question. Riley Sims is the only goaltender that's returning as Riley Morris moved on. And they did lose Riley Lindgren, who was one of their key performers. However, the recruits that they're bringing in make them just as good, if not maybe even a little bit better. Shane Farkas, who didn't play at UPEI, transferred in from the Atlantic University Conference. He spent 112 games in the WHL in 4 years, 276 goals against average, 909 save percentage, 65-31-8 in the WHL. So Farkas can play. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, Connor Bouchard, 262 games in WHL. He had 36 goals, 97 assists. He's going to look pretty good back there. A couple of other guys, Kobe Morisseau, who everybody go, who's he? Kobe Morisseau played in a senior A league last year. He played in 18 games. He had 15 goals and 29 assists. Beyond that, he played in the MJ for 34 games. Prior to that, 20 goals and 24 assists in 34 games.
Yep.
If Kobe Morisseau can find the net, Kobe Morisseau might be that hidden gem that nobody knew about.
And that's the thing, is like, you're with Mount Royal, you've got Calgary right next door. You've got Alberta down the road and McEwen down the road.
Right.
It's the recruiting in Alberta was already difficult to begin with.
Yep.
It's gotten even harder, so you're going to need to find those diamonds in the roughs. And Morisseau, like, take nothing away. Like, you can raise as many questions as you want of, like, why was he playing in a senior A league?
So
he
actually spent a handful of games in the SPHL as well.
Yep.
Like, he went to the Southern Professional Hockey League, played a few games there before, and that's how he ended up in the senior A league, because he came back and was like, well, I got nowhere to go now. So,
yeah, and like, I've watched enough senior hockey to know, like, that is high quality hockey. Like, it's not like he's taken a huge step. Like, there's former professionals that go back and like play senior, especially in Alberta. But we're also talking about like a post COVID world where things were kind of messy for a few years,
right,
and it was hard to find a place to play and a place to play consistently. So there's a lot of guys that kind of got missed. Like, I think if it was a normal world and he was able to, you know, take that clear path, he would have wound up here anyways.
Yeah.
But his kind of looping path allowed Mount Royal to come in and say, hey, we see how good you are. Come do that for us. But overall with the program, I was happy with where they were last year, and you know, the players that they were bringing back, and where they were looking like they were going to take that step forward.
Right. Yeah.
They're still there. Like, they're kind of that team that we've been like, okay, they're there. Like, when is it going to finally click for them? I'm still holding out hope that this is the year, because the players that are coming back, if you can settle the goaltending, which was an issue last year, then that was kind of your Achilles heel last year.
Yeah.
You didn't have a guy that you could go to and just depend on, whereas other programs had that. But you've got all the other pieces in place.
Well, and they got Ryland Toth in the playoffs as well. They ran into UBC. So 13-6-1 last year, they were third in the conference. They were 92 goals for. They were second best in the conference in terms of scoring goals, and they were tied for fourth in terms of goals against.
Unfortunately, with Lindgren, a chunk of that goes out the window.
Right. But
potentially.
But at the same time, though, you don't have to worry about running into a Toth this year. That's the thing, is that if Mount Royal can get to one of those top two spots, perfect. But if they get into that third spot and have to go and play up against one of those teams, you're not going to run into that guy that's unbeatable.
Yeah. Goaltending is just in general, like looking throughout the lineups for this year, goaltending looks a bit awkward this year.
For a number of teams, graduates and certainly players who have moved on, it's going to be, there could be some questions as to who moves forward. We'll jump to the Northern Alberta city of Edmonton, obviously the capital, and talk a little bit about the other new team from last year, McEwen Griffins. Ended up eighth. They had 3 wins in 20 games, 3-17-0, unfortunately. They had 45 goals for. They were eighth overall in goals. They also were eighth overall in goals against, with 97 against. Mm-hmm. So they pretty much finished exactly where you thought they should, which is eighth. In saying that, though, they went out and they found players. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. They've got guys now. And I say that because, again, they went and found some really interesting players. Ashton Abel comes in from Boston University. He played 22 games there over 3 seasons, 325 goals against average, 90 save percentage. He was 3-4-2. However, Abel is a monster in the net. He's a big dude. Carter Chorney from Medicine Hat goes there. 219 games played with Medicine Hat, 31 goals and 33 assists. But Chorney can play. Like, Medicine Hat was big on Chorney in terms of him playing there. Merritt Ostico from RIT, he comes there. Again, another NCAA guy. And then Mark Pasemko, from Colorado College comes there as well. And again, he was assistant captain with Okotoks. He comes there as well. So they've got legitimately 3 NCAA transfer-ins already coming in, which is huge.
Yep.
And then they add Zach Aston from Nate from the ACAC as another transfer-in. And oh my God, they've got guys.
Yeah.
Guys who can play. The weird part about Aston, though, is Aston was with McEwen. He played 41 games with them in the ACAC prior to this season. He had 3 goals and 8 assists as a defender. And then he jumped to Nate, played one season there, and then he came back. And now he's playing in Canada West as opposed to playing in ACAC hockey.
Yeah, and honestly, like, that... this is what you would hope for a program coming in to Canada West. Like, you want them to take a step forward every year, to get better every year, and that's what they did. Like, I think that obviously that 3 wins, that's going to improve.
Yeah, like, I believe so as well.
I honestly think that they're going to. I will fully state I was wrong about them last year. I thought they would be in the spot that I thought them and Trinity Western would flip positions. But I think that they are really primed for an improvement this year. I don't know if they're going to, like, I think it did come down pretty much to the wire in terms of playoffs, because that bottom group for the playoffs was so tight last year.
Well, and they come in as a bit of a question mark as well. Zach Daly is their brand new head coach. He's their interim head coach right now. He has not coached a game at Canada West, in the Canada West level. They have virtually no players that are coming in from last year that were of any significant. I mean, Zach Webb basically led in goals, assists, and points for returning players. And you kind of go, okay, well, who else? There really wasn't. So building this team basically from scratch might be a better option for McEwen than trying to build upon the guys who were successful. Take nothing away from them. They were successful at the ACAC level, but building on them in terms of building on some of the guys who were successful in Canada West last year with a bunch of new guys this year might be a better option than trying to build upon, like you said, you know, a team that only managed to win 3 games.
Yeah. So I think that they're going to really, it's almost like they're going to surprise people again. Right, because I think last year they did surprise teams with a little bit of the fight that they were able to put up and how they were able to stay in it for as long as they did. Part of that was just how far and away the top teams were from the teams at the bottom and the scrapping that the teams at the bottom had to do to get that final playoff spot. But I think that the talent is there. Now the question is, can you put it together and really push teams and surprise teams? And I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs, but I think that they're going to definitely challenge a lot of the teams that come in.
I don't know if we really need to talk about them a lot, but the Alberta Golden Bears look like they're going to probably win again. They've got a lot of good players and a lot of players returning. I hate to say this, but it looks like it might be. They're going to lose Clayton Kirchenko. They're going to lose Grayson Polinchuk. They're going to lose Taz Berman. But when you look at what they have left, Josh Prokop is still there. Nolan Vulcan is still there. Dylan Plouffe is still there. Eric Florchuk is still there. Nick Schneider is still there.
Yep.
So they've got pretty much their entire setup coming back. Oh, and then they add Jaken Smallwood from the Winnipeg Ice.
Well, I'm very high on. I really like Jaken Smallwood.
They add Ethan Kruger from the Brandon Wheat Kings.
Yep.
And they add the Hall twins from the Edmonton, Alberta. One played for Vancouver Giants, one played for Lethbridge. And all of a sudden, you've got guys that can fill in for that. Again, they're not going to replace the offense you've lost, but they're going to make it look good. Again, nobody's going to take... Nobody's gonna replace a guy like, you know, Philp or anything like that or whatever on a roster.
They're gonna be trying to replace him for a very long time.
But again, we're talking about replacing them in the aggregate now with these new guys that are coming in. I don't see any way Alberta loses Canada West this year unless something goes significantly wrong, an injury to a key player, something like that. But we're talking about maybe their 75th or 80th banner that they're going to have to hang in Claire Drake Arena.
Yeah. Well, and also they're bringing back Matt Berlin. So, like, their goaltending situation is a lock. Like, you've got Kruger and Berlin as, like, the two top options. They've still got a couple guys in there that, like, if something catastrophic...
Well, again, Nick Schneider had 9 wins last season.
Yeah.
And you go, who's Nick Schneider? I don't even remember. I just remember Taz Berman playing.
Yeah.
Nick Schneider had 9 wins in 20 games.
They had the 3 goaltenders that they could cycle in no matter what. So now you're throwing Ethan Kruger into that mix where it's like, okay, like...
I mean, they're adding Tanner Finkerick. They're adding, again, Jaken Smallwood. They're adding, again, the Hall brothers. They're adding Bruce McGregor. They're just loaded to the max in terms of guys that can put pucks in the net.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just, it's the Alberta playbook. It's just reload and let's go. Like, you're bringing in the talent that it's really easy to bring, for you to bring in, and you're just going to keep pushing around the rest of Canada West.
Well, that's the whole thing. We got to speed this up a little bit as we're running out of enough time for the women's side here, but let's squeeze in a couple more teams here. Let's go Northern Saskatchewan. The Saskatoon-based University of Saskatchewan Huskies ended up fourth last year, 14-7-0 under Mike Babcock. Obviously, that'll change this year with Braden Cote taking over, Mike Babcock retiring. They didn't really, again, Liam Keeler is probably the one player they added that might be the most offensive in terms of the way that he plays the game. But you look at this Saskatchewan team and you go, they might take another step back this year. Not that they took a huge step back underneath Mike Babcock. I mean, they were still good, but they ended up in fourth as opposed to being higher in the standings. Yep. But you look at who they lost. Zane Franklin left after a year. Gordy Ballhorn is gone. Wyatt Johnson is gone. Some key player, Carter Folk, is gone.
Yep.
Some key players are gone now out of this program. And you go... Jackson Kaluski led the returnees in goals. Connor Hobbs and Jared Dimitri are still going to be there. Roddy Ross is still going to be there. The core is still going to be strong. Do they have enough depth, though, to compete with everybody else in this conference now?
I think that, honestly, what it comes down for me is what it's always come down to me for with Saskatchewan. I think the major step back that they took last year was because of the system that Mike Babcock put them in. It was so different from what they had played with before. And we were talking about it before the show. They had this system where the players cycled as much as the puck did, and the guys without the puck played so well and with such, you know, a strong structure that you always knew where the puck carrier always knew where their teammates were going to be, and they could depend on it. It's like they had a sixth sense. You know, Evan and I likened it to a pack of wolves more than a pack of huskies, just with the way that they would circle you specifically on the power play. And that system went away. You still had the same kind of core of talent, but this new system was brought in under Mike Babcock that really didn't work. And now they have a chance to maybe try something new. The talent is still there. Maybe it's always been that way. It's like the talent might not be to the level of an Alberta, but the system made that talent perform like Alberta. So it's that's where the question is for me.
Regina, who if we go a little bit south, is going to have a tough, tough season, I believe. They've lost most of their solid players. Connor Chalk is gone. Brandon Holtby, is gone. Turner Riplinger is gone. Of the returnees, Bryce Platt had 7 goals as the highest scoring returnee in terms of goal scoring. Mike Eskra, highest scoring defender in terms of assists. And then Brendan Riddle had the highest total number of points. Curtis Meager just had 3 wins on the season. The guys they're bringing in aren't going to wow anybody. Joe Young from the OJHL, he played Markham there. He played 7 games, had a .543 goals against average and an .843 save percentage. Like, why did you even offer this kid an opportunity?
I think it's because they just didn't. Either they see something in him or...
Adam Evanoff, who played in Victoria, who played WHL Victoria, he is probably going to be your starter this year.
Yes.
And that's putting it bluntly. I mean, there is no way to get around this. He is your best goaltender, and he hasn't played a game of hockey.
I wouldn't give Meager the starting job.
But that's the thing, though. He hasn't played a minute of hockey in Canada West. He's going to be your starter. So good luck that way. The only other player that looks even remotely interesting to me in terms of how he's been brought up, Matt Culling from Vernon in the BCHL. Again, he played 4 years in the WHL with 3 teams, 153 games played. He only had 21 goals and 18 assists. He's probably their next best player. Eric Pierce, who played 5 years with Prince Albert and Brandon, had 21 goals, 24 assists in 202 games. Mm-hmm. But really, you're not replacing a lot of scoring that left with Chalk and Riplinger, who legitimately carried that team at times last year.
This team is going to tumble. Like, there's no two ways around it. Like, the teams that are below them with... even Trinity Western like took a bit of a like some of the guys that they brought in like they can improve, but I don't think that they've improved over McEwen or Manitoba, who they beat last year to
race them to the finish. Yeah.
Exactly, but the guys that got you over that line at the end are gone, and you haven't replaced them.
Let's jump to Winnipeg because the Manitoba Bisons are next, and I gotta say this might be the most impressive recruiting class in some time that Mike Sarantz put together. Ryan Gottfried, who came from Seattle in WHL, 6'4", 210.
Yep.
Dude's going to be a tower of power, and he's a shutdown defenseman, which we haven't seen forever.
Imagine putting him next to Mitch Dick. Just too,
But that's the thing, though. Is you can literally roll out a defensive stopper pairing now, which would be huge. Ross Harlick, who came in from Western Michigan, is a 6'4 goalie as well. He's going to be a monster, and everything I've read about him is size and athleticism. Everybody seems to love him that way. And then if you look down a little bit further, Parker Malchuk, who came in from the Dauphin Kings, he was captain there and top defenseman in the MJHL. Zach Patrick from Steinbach, who is a great first pass guy, great skater as well. Evan Toth, who came in from Vancouver's WHL team, bigger guy again as well, 6'2", 205 in terms of the defense for Manitoba and the goaltending, along with Simon Harkness, who came in from Steinbach, might be the bread and butter for Manitoba this year. They're still going to have good, again, Veloso is up there, Apatagan, is up there. They're still going to have decent goal scoring up front. But really, the improvement on the back end might make the forwards' job a lot easier this season.
The only unfortunate thing is that that's been the tale of the Bisons the last few years, is that that defensive core has been really, you lost Christensen and you lost Henry. Obviously, those are massive losses. Like, they're going to be chasing that top pair for a really long time to try and replace them.
You don't think Malchuk and Patrick can
I think they
morph into that?
I think they can. Okay. It's just going to take us. Like, I think that might be
a
finally
season or two, you're right,
what they've done to replace Adam Henry and Sean Christensen. But the defense was always the strong point, but it's the system that they were put in was not conducive to this team succeeding, because they would just get stuck in their own zone.
The irony of the system again.
Yeah, the mentality was that you would give up a quantity of shots to protect from the quality of shots, and it didn't work.
But let's take nothing away from Brett Davis is coming back. Devin Skoleski is coming back. They're going to have goal scoring up front,
exactly,
which is going to be good. They just need to get the puck from their defensive zone
and
to the
forwards.
And
that was always the problem.
And that's what I'm saying.
They were super successful on the power play because they had such a strong power play setup and they had a good power play system. But as soon as the puck was out of the offensive zone and back down, it was over.
I mean,
you could not get it back out.
I mean, you don't replace a Keaton Jamison very easily. Reese Harsh, who looked otherworldly at times for Manitoba. You don't replace him either. But, I mean, it looks like in the aggregate, Mike Sarant's done a decent job here. Yeah. So the coaches poll, for those that are asking for men's hockey, now that we've sort of run through the adds and deletes from each roster, coaches poll had Alberta first, Mount Royal second, UBC third, Saskatchewan fourth, Calgary fifth, Manitoba sixth, Regina seventh, McEwen eighth, Trinity Western ninth, as per the coaches poll this year. Jason, what did you see in terms of your standings?
I would actually flip Alberta and Mount Royal.
Mount Royal is the first as first.
I think I'm gonna put my stamp on it. I think this year there's gonna be a little bit of a. I just the way that
remember this is not including playoffs. This is only.
I still think Alberta's gonna win.
Yeah,
but I think that Mount Royal is gonna take top spot. I think they're just gonna run through specifically the guys at the bottom. They're gonna run through them. I think Regina is going to finish below McEwen. I think McEwen will finish just shy of the playoffs behind Manitoba, but the rest of it, I think, is still... To me, it fits.
I actually don't disagree with this hockey poll at all. I don't think that... I mean, again, Regina and McEwen might be a flip-flop in terms of the way that they finish, in terms of the way they play. Again, I just don't know how McEwen is going to play underneath their new coach, their interim coach there. But I look at this and I go, Saskatchewan at 4, UBC at 3, Mount Royal at 2, Alberta at 1 sounds right. Calgary and Manitoba battling for that final for the 5 and 6 spot in the conference makes sense.
Two teams with great defensive cores that are going to could give you a real run for your
and
money
then,
in the playoffs.
And then it's everybody else, Regina, McEwen, Trinity Western, who need to find some improvement at some point. So I don't have a problem with that. I think the coach's poll is pretty accurate from the men's side, but we'll have to see how it goes and see who's right, who's wrong in terms of what's going on here. Just so everybody knows, the voting, Alberta received 8 first-place votes. Mount Royal received 1 first-place vote. UBC 1 vote ahead of Saskatchewan in terms of ending up 3rd in the coaches' poll. So Manitoba and Calgary had the biggest gap between them. I'm not joking about this. There was legitimately a 17-point gap between those two teams. So Manitoba not rating very high on teams, but again, I think they're going to be in that mix just because, again, if the defense reaches its potential, we could be looked at.
And if they can, if their forward group can stay healthy, which was a problem last year, I think they could really put it together.
So let's talk about this announcement. For those that don't know, again, we were proud and we were honored and we certainly were happy to have Bison Sports and Bison Hockey on UMFM. That will not happen this year, folks. If you're looking to tune into hockey, you cannot on the radio anymore. There will be no free broadcast of any Bison Sports this season, as Bison Sports has chosen to take their broadcast in a new direction, and that's to move away from UMFM and to do it on their own. There have been concessions. There was some concessions made to try and make things work. There were some agreements that were in place that went to the wayside, but at the end of the day, end result is there will not be hockey, there will not be football on UMFM for the coming season, and we'll have to readdress it over the summer. So it's out of our control. I have no control over it. The other big announcement, I guess, is that I will no longer be involved with any of the women's hockey at the University of Manitoba. Jason, you are going back to call men's hockey.
Will be returning for this year. I'm not sure about beyond that because, you know, we're getting older and complicated. Yeah. So
Kylie will return as play-by-play for women's hockey, but I will not be involved with the hockey program. So there's the big announcement anyway for us, is that, I mean, not that my involvement even matters, but that UMFM will not be carrying games this season. So if you're looking for a way to watch or to listen to hockey, the only way you can do so is by subscribing to Canada West TV.
Yep.
So there's your update, folks. We'll touch on that at the end of the... If we have questions, I mean, again, I'll tell everybody how to get a hold of me later if there's questions and stuff or whatever, but that's the big news anyway. We're going to jump to the women's side now, where, again, things are a little bit different. We'll start on the left coast again, where UBC is the reigning Canada West champion, and they certainly have lost a few players, namely Jenna Fletcher, Shaylee McConnell, Kenzie Robinson, Emily Moore. Again, some bigger names in there in terms of McConnell and Robinson, but I mean, overall, they're adding some good players as well. Kate Stewart comes in from Boston University. She's in her fifth year of eligibility, as it appears that they're going to be down a goaltender. It looks like Reese Hiddleston is getting surgery, so she's going to be out for most of the season, and they needed to add a third goaltender. Kate Stewart's going to be that goaltender. Beyond that, though, Rylan McKinnon coming back, Sean Reed Bassey coming back, Elise Hudgens coming back. They're going to have their core back again, the big core that basically led them to the championship last year. I don't think that UBC is going to have any problem winning again this year. The only question is going to be, can anybody knock them off their throne?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Like, I think I mean, this is Canada West. You've still got the Huskies and the Pandas there.
Oh,
but,
sure, yeah.
I think that they should be the odds-on favorite to come back and do it all again. Just, you know, once we shake out where the other teams are at, I think that they didn't really need to make too many additions. It was kind of just like additions of circumstance.
Well, and I mean, the current roster will fill in nicely for those players who have left as well. There's a number of good players there again, Mackenzie Cordick had an outstanding second half of the season last year. She'll be able to fill in nicely for McConnell. There'll be a number of good players that step up. So I don't see UBC struggling this year. I know they're going to be in for a run at some point with a few of these teams, but I mean, at the same time though, I mean, I think UBC at the end of the season might end up okay, so we'll see how that goes. Jumping to Trinity Western, this might be the team that changed the most, only because they added a number of players from different schools. Notably, Amy Potomac comes in from the University of Minnesota. Kate Clausen comes in from UConn in terms of where she appeared from, and I mean, you look at sort of their third, I don't want to say big acquisition, but Catherine Chadwick from UNB, who played in Nationals last year for U Sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are three very good players who have some good experience, Potomac especially, being in the NCAA, scoring 17 goals and 18 assists last season.
Yeah, I think that, again, it's you're trying to make incremental improvements.
Is it enough, though, to get out of the basement?
Yeah.
Nope, not a chance. I will say I probably agree with that as well. I don't think they're gonna. I think they will eclipse their two wins. I think they will beat some teams this year because they simply have more talent now. Mabel Malte looks like, and Kate Fawcett look like they're going to be the two goaltenders that are going to run with the. And they had a ton of experience last year rotating the three goaltenders, so they'll be more experienced at the Canada West level. I think this is legitimately just give them time, and they're going to get better over time.
Exactly, you can't just expect the team to rocket up the standings after a year, especially with very experienced players and coaches in the programs above them. I think it's you need to give it time. You need to give people time to grow into the Canada West game, and it is just incremental improvement. I think they're a team that, just based on the talent that they have, I think they're going to be able to catch some other teams sleeping. Maybe like a rough, you know, back-to-back, pick up a win when, you know, the team's trying to get on through there, or surprise them on a Saturday afternoon. I think, this program is trending in the right direction. I don't think they're not going to take that major jump, that leap forward, but it's definitely going to be a step forward.
We'll jump to Calgary, where, again, two teams call home. We'll start with the Dinos. Dinos added some interesting players. Jada Burke comes in from Lindenwood in terms of the ACHA. She looks like she's going to be a solid addition to this team in terms of leadership and ability. A lot of good recruits that, again, were brought in by Carla McLeod in her first recruiting class. Again, she didn't have a chance to do that before. But again, it's who's coming back that might be the biggest setup. Rachel Paul and Holly Ruther are going to be moving on from Calgary, but they are bringing back Ali Borrow. They are bringing back Elizabeth Lang. They are bringing back Gabriella Durante. They are bringing back virtually a number of key players that last year scored goals but didn't have the depth to maximize that. This year it looks like they've added the depth, at least a little bit more depth, and it's paying off in the preseason in that we're seeing them win a few more games in the preseason than what they have had in previous seasons.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this is... You're not going to like completely fill out and be like, all right, the problem's gone.
Right, yeah.
You know, the competition for recruiting is very, very fierce. So I think that they are going to continue to make steps forward. I think they're going to win a few more games this year. And the players that are returning, they have more experience now. And I think that you can't discount the fact that they're going to continue to play together. That core is going to continue to play together, get more experienced, and learn the other teams a little bit more. And like, it's another solid building year for Calgary.
Mount Royal lost a couple of key players as well. Zoe DeBeauville moves on after her great run in the nets there for Mount Royal. Tiahnako and Annapurski are going to be the major losses up front. However, again, they're getting back virtually the team that took them to first place last year. Courtney Coleman will be back. She led the team in points and goals. Tatum Amy will be back for another year as captain. Aaliyah Joma is going to be there to score goals again. They're going to have that same solid defense again. Emma Bergeson will probably lead that group as well. Mackenzie Butts, who had an outstanding season last year as well. Caitlin Ross and it looks like Cassie Shokar will be in net again. We're talking about virtually the team that went to Nationals 2 years ago and then the one that ran into Cameron Drever in Saskatchewan last year, coming back with only a few minor changes to this team. Adding in the Bourbondies, adding in Sokka, adding in Banco regularly in terms of having... Scott Rivett's got a ton of weapons on this team.
Yeah.
The only question will be, can they keep the puck out of their own net?
Yeah, like that's it, right? Like you that's why you know they were out last year is when you run into a hot goaltender and you're not scoring but you're allowing those goals, that's what gets you. I honestly think throughout the regular season, we could still see them perform. They're still going to perform to the same level.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're going to, you know, same thing as like what I said on the men's side. I think it's prime for Mount Royal to make a run to first place. But it's when the regular season's over that matters for you now.
Right.
You know, for them, for UBC, for Saskatchewan, for Alberta, you can, with a fair level of confidence, say that you're going to get to the playoffs. You're working for that. You're working for when the puck drops, first round of the playoffs, where are you? What are you going to do? I think that's what they're looking toward. And I think if they can spend the year and they can get some clarity in their own crease, that's going to determine where they're going to sit once the puck drops for playoffs.
We'll move north to Alberta, to Alberta in terms of the University of Alberta, but into Edmonton where Alberta and McEwen are. We'll start with McEwen again, only because, again, they're sort of the newer team. We want to keep an eye on what they're doing, but they're going to lose. They've lost some key players. No doubt about this. Natalie Bender, Kyrell Skoy, and Chantel Rick are all gone. And, I mean, we're talking about a large chunk of their offense going that way. Jamie Doyle, Aaron Chambers, and Haley Maurice finished the season in terms of returning players with 3 goals apiece. So they didn't have a lot. Jamie Doyle had 8 points in terms of returning players as well. So almost like the men's side, this might be a clean slate because Brianna Sank will likely take over in the net, which will be okay for them. Where we may see some fun, though, is Lindsay Johnson from Edmonton as the backup goaltender. She could legitimately turn this on their head. She was incredible with the Pandas last year in the Alberta Female Hockey League. I don't think that McEwen's got enough firepower yet to make a difference. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to have enough firepower this season. And a brand new coach as well. This might be a rebuilding year in terms of, and again, it sounds awful because it's only their second year.
Yeah.
But it might be a rebuilding year in that you're going to see, what's his name? Delling? I'll look him up in a second anyway. But you're going to see legitimately a change in terms of how this team plays, how they're going to approach the game. And that might be enough just for this team to maybe not take a step back, but maybe sort of stay in the same spot they were in.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you want to do. If you're going for a clean slate like that, you're not going to put super high expectations on it. I think for them, like we talked about with Trinity Western, it's about making that incremental gain. With that, like, if you've got a clean slate, you don't want to take a step back. You want to at the very least stay where you are. And
Chris Leeming, there we go. Sorry, I had his name. I knew it was Chris, but whatever.
It's hard to say, like, with the amount of change that's going on, where they could wind up and what to expect. It's just, don't try and have super high expectations for this program. It's only their second year in Canada West. Like,
they've lost a lot of, their seniors are gone now. Like, the big seniors that they had were gone now. Now we're talking about drilling down to some of the younger players as well.
Yeah, and they're going to need time to take on that mantle of responsibility of saying, like, okay, you're going to have to lead this team forward now. You're going to have to work your way into becoming a veteran sooner rather than later. Let's go.
12 minutes left, and Alberta Pandas next, and legitimately Howie Draper has I don't know how this guy works magic like he does, but he is legitimately a magician every time because he finds players all over the place and somehow pulls players out of hats that we haven't heard of for a while. Coming back, Natalie Keyser is going to be excellent again. Madison Mullen going to be excellent again. Goaltender Halle Oswald is going to be excellent again. We already know that. That's pretty much standard for them. They did lose Abby Krasaniak. They did lose Kirsten Chamberlain. They did lose Kelsey Tanyard. They did lose Kiara Mockery. So big pieces off their defense and their goaltending that are gone now. However, in saying that, let's take a look at who they recruited, because I don't know if recruited is the right word for one of these players, but Abby Bordeaux-Dewey comes in from Pemina Valley. She was excellent. Maya Amon comes in from Winnipeg Ice, both from Manitoba. Incredible seasons for them in the Manitoba Female Hockey League. Misty Ray is going to be an outstanding goaltender. She comes in from the Edmonton Pandas as well in terms of that program. They added Cassidy Maplethorpe from Brock University. She played 13 games with Brock last year, scored 11 goals and 5 assists. She has national championship experience. She is going to be an excellent player for them. And somehow, some way, I don't know what she's taking. I haven't looked into it any deeper, but Taylor Kesema's back for the Pandas as well. She's a grad student, and she is playing for Howie again after coaching last year with Howie.
Like, I don't know what to say. Like, it's Howie Draper being Howie Draper. It's the Pandas being the Pandas. Like just...
I was like, what? What?
Former
Robert Morris University recruit Riley Smith comes in to play defense for them as well. So, I mean, Alberta's going to have a good team again, even though they've lost very key players.
Yeah, you eject like the key part of your defense, and then immediately just get it back.
The
goaltending again, like Oswald could be leaned on quite a bit.
Sure, yeah.
I think that it's going to be so hard to get to the net that it doesn't really matter.
The Maplethorpe signing alone is just the Maplethorpe recruitment alone. I don't know how she.
Yeah.
I know she's from Alberta and she definitely went home, but the fact that she landed at Alberta, what is going on? That's incredible.
And in a conference where scoring can be at a premium, especially with like the goaltenders that have been around the last few years, that's going to be huge.
In theory, it will be monstrous if you can find the back of the net.
Yeah.
Looking in the Saskatchewan mode of things, I'm not taking it away from Steve Cook either, because Steve Cook went out and dug up all sorts of names. And where did you get these names from?
Yeah.
But Jessica Patterson comes in. She wasn't really well known. Emma Backman came in sort of as a third goaltender. We already know that Cameron Drever is going to play a lot. We already know that that she is probably going to own the net for the longest time in terms of what's going on. But here's where things get a little crazy now. He went out and found Taylor Wilkinson. He went out and found Jade Kadia from Lakeland College in Alberta and brought both of them in. They are going to be incredibly good players for Steve Cook. And Shelby Williamson from the Okanagan Hockey Academy, who signed late with them in August, in fact, she'll get an opportunity to play defense. However, they lost nobody on their back end, and they lost nobody from their goaltending. Saskatchewan might be the scariest team from their blue line in, only because, again, they have experience, national experience now. They have incredible goaltending already. We know Cameron Drever can steal games. The only losses they lost were up front in Bailey Barassa, Abby Shirley, and Jordan Holmes.
Which, I mean, that those are tough losses. Take
nothing away. Those are big losses in terms of goals and points that are gone. But at the end of the day, if you can add in players like Kadir and who have already played at a higher level than the Alberta Female Hockey League, you're not really taking a step back. You're just transitioning players in at that point.
Yeah, it's just more of the same. Like for both them and Alberta, it's just more of the same. I think it's too early to say like, oh yeah, they'll be back at Nationals, but like they have a legitimate shot
I mean, Steve, we know Steve plays defensive hockey first. We know that Steve takes care of his own zone. And legitimately, if you've lost no defenders from your back end and you still have your number one goalie from last year playing for you,
you're the odds on favorite.
Defense wins championships. It's as simple as that. And we saw Drever oust Mount Royal last year. Not on her own. I won't say on her own, but certainly she had a large chunk in that in terms of credit.
Yeah, and like if it comes down to those two again in the playoffs, like that's just going to be more of the same.
I mean, can she haunt them again? So
yeah,
again, we're talking about the bronze medalists, the U Sports bronze medalists in the Saskatchewan Huskies as well. I'm not saying they're going back to nationals either, but they got a good chance.
Yeah.
So that might be scary. The other team in Saskatchewan had a tough offseason. I will say that.
Yep.
The Regina Cougars lost a number of good players. Lila Carpenter-Bosch, she's ineligible due to playing 5 years. Adela Juskova left. Jordan Kolbita is now playing down in Minot State as she went to take her grad studies down there. Kayla Powell also left. Returning from their team, Ireland Sorestad might be the biggest name only because she had 10 points last year. And Arden Cleaver, she was outstanding in terms of, or Cleaver in terms of having a good season. And she had 7 wins last year. But legitimately, this is a very young team that's going to take their lumps this year, I think. Yep. And it's not going to be pretty for a lot of the season. Again, Sarah Hodges will get the most out of these players. She will certainly squeeze out every bit of effort from these players, but it is going to take a mountain of effort to get this team into the playoffs.
And I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I think that there is promise in some of the players, but I think that it's just, they're going to be in that bottom mix. It's just, where do they wind up? And are you going to take, like, when you've got a young team and you know that, like, things aren't going to go super well, it's more about, okay, you're going to, this is what, you know, I said last year with Trinity Western and McEwen coming in. It's like, you're going to take your lumps. You're going to lose a lot of games. But don't let losing be your teacher.
Right.
Let it guide you to, like, let the winning team be your teacher. Learn from what they're doing. Take this as, okay, we're building, we're coming together, this is a learning experience. The points don't matter, the wins and losses don't matter. This year is just about us. It's about winning. It's us. It's about learning. It's about building chemistry, and it's about next year.
Manitoba Bison's last team. We got about 3 minutes left here, Jay, so let's make this quick. Again, good returning crop. Hallie Edwards, Kylie Lasuk, Sarah Dennehy, Kate Gregoire, Julia Bird, a lot of good players coming back. Problem might be on the back end, though, where they lost. Again, Lauren Workington is gone. Erin Fargy is gone. She's no longer with the program as well in terms of goaltending. And then you look at that and you really have no sort of veteran defenders back. You got a few defenders who have a few years under their belt, but nobody who's really carried this team like a Workington has or anything like that. Legitimately, Bisons have not, in preseason anyway, have not had a good time in their own zone, have not had a good time stopping pucks and keeping pucks out of their net. I think this might be a tough season for the Bisons.
I completely agree. They're all the talent in the world, like, up front. If you're not being used correctly, if it's not working well, like, together, I don't see how this team, like, I don't want to say they squeaked into the playoffs last year, but they kind of did, and I don't know if they have what it takes to, you know, they're definitely not trending in the right direction to me.
I don't think that, I mean, the other teams are bad enough that they're probably going to make the playoffs, but I don't know if they're going to earn a playoff spot. That's the part that bothers me the most.
That's the thing. It's like you've got those bottom four teams, and you're playing hot potato with who's going to wind up with the playoff spot in their hands in the last week of the season.
Coaches poll went UBC number 1, Mount Royal number 2, Saskatchewan number 3, Alberta number 4, Calgary 5th, Manitoba 6th, McEwen 7th, Trinity Western 8th, Regina 9th.
I would put Mount Royal at 1. The rest is a complete toss-up until you get to 6, where I think Manitoba does come out on top, and then the bottom, it's just a crapshoot of where they're going to land. Like, it's just it's so close that I don't
disagree with you in the bottom 4. I think that Manitoba, McEwen, Trinity Western, and Regina will end up the bottom 4. I do believe, though, that Manitoba, McEwen will be 6 and 7. I think Trinity Western ends up 9th and Regina ends up 8th, only because, again, Sarah knows this conference well enough. She knows the ins and outs and the tricks to get by everybody.
Yeah.
I really struggle, though. I think UBC does end up 1st. I think that Mount Royal does end up 2nd. I think that Saskatchewan ends up 3rd. I think that Alberta does end up 4th. I think that Calgary does end up 5th. However, I will say right now, 1 through 5 could easily be flipped.
Yeah.
That's how much question there. Every team at the top has a question mark about them. Can UBC find the same magic they put together last year? Does Mount Royal have the goaltending and defense? Does Saskatchewan have enough offense? Can Alberta bring in enough good people and integrate them quickly in order for them to find the wins? Mm-hmm. We saw them start slowly last year. Can Calgary turn all the magic that Carlo McLeod did with the Czech team into their own magic in Calgary and really surprise a bunch of teams? There are question marks all up and down this entire conference. In saying that, though, I'm pretty confident that the coaches' poll is nearly accurate. Not quite accurate, but nearly accurate. Anyway, we got about 30 seconds left. Jay, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Tomorrow's National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. If you do have the day off, even if you don't have the day off, use it to potentially go on the National Center for Truth and Reconciliation website, go to the archive, listen to some of the stories, and educate.
I will say as well, definitely get your orange shirts on and remember why we're taking the day for those who have it off or those who are working. Get yourself together and make sure you know what we're doing with that. Besides that, though, Canada West hockey season starts tomorrow, so get yourself ready for that. Unfortunately, not here on UMFM. We will not be carrying any games this season. So for everybody who's tuning into Canada West TV, all the best, and hopefully you'll get some good broadcast entertainment this year. But as it stands, it won't be on UMFM this year. So we'll talk as we go on, but season starts tomorrow for 8 of the 9 teams. The only teams that are off right now, Manitoba, in terms of having that bye for the first week. So from there, we will see how everything goes. But for now, we are out of here for another week. Thanks for tuning into the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM. We'll see you next week, everybody. Have a good one.
So you understand the situation here.
You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 megahertz on the FM dial from Winnipeg.
And that is how you do that.
Amazing.
That was kind of impressive.